אני בוכה להישאר, הכל כדאי, אני חי בארץ ישראל. This is my home, this is the place to be. מרגיש את אלוקיי כאן בקרבי, אז תעלה אחי ושב איתי. This is my home, זה המקום שלי.
You're listening to the Bring Them Home Aliyah podcast, posted by Josh Wander.
Welcome back to Bring Them Home. This is Josh Wander from Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh. We're so fortunate to be living in such special times, crazy times, but special times nonetheless. And we're fortunate yet again to be with Rav Nachman Kahana here in Yerushalayim. And he is going to tell us what he thinks is going on, because everybody's asking the same questions. What is going on?
Shalom, everybody. Near and far, Israel has a lot on its plate now. I said to someone the other day that Lag BaOmer here was not Lag BaOmer, and Shavuot was not Shavuot, and we hope that Tisha B'Av will not be Tisha B'Av. But we don't know where it's going. There's so many different possibilities where our history be going, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu, in his wonderful way, not telling anybody. I once defined a coincidence as the way that Hashem guides the world and remains anonymous. That's the godless greatness of Hashem. Everything is what He wants, but we cannot put our finger on anything. We cannot predict. But in a wide brush, we can say in Israel, nothing ever happened in this country to advance the national cause that came by through a peaceful manner. Everything always happened in a vigorous and a difficult way. If not for the War of Independence, Israel would be today a thin sliver of land on the eastern end of the Mediterranean. The Yom Kippur War, the Six-Day War, brought us to Yerushalayim. Yom Kippur War brought us to be a world power, because if we were able to come back from the terrible beginning of the war and find ourselves 100 kilometers from Cairo and 30 kilometers from Damascus, that shows that the hand of Hashem is with us. What's going to be now, nobody knows. But of course, we are optimistic. In Hebrew, to say someone is optimistic, we say is optimi. Optimi means up to me. And great deal, our future is going to depend on what we do. We have to simply go back and see the rudiments of the Torah, that we are Shem's chosen people. This is our country, only for the Jewish people. Jews have to come back here. And if things don't work out that way, then we're going to suffer. Anyway, I'd like to speak about this week's Parsha, Parsha Naso. Our Parsha brings together in one giant leap the spiritual failures of our society together with its creme de la creme. On one end is the Sota, the married woman regarding whom there is valid reason to suspect that she has been unfaithful to her husband. And on the opposite side is the Nazir, the God-fearing person whose spiritual thirsts are not satisfied by the minimal demands of the Torah, and who seeks to even be closer to Hashem by voluntarily imposing upon himself additional restrictions. The Nazir and the Sota. In both cases, the Nazir and the Sota must eventually appear before the Kohanim and the Beit HaMikdash. Why? I suggest both the Sota and the Nazir have sinned, although on opposite sides of the halachic spectrum. The immodest behavior of the Sota that gives legitimate reason for suspicion is her sin. The self-imposed restrictions by the Nazir imply that he believes that what Hashem had decreed in the Torah is insufficient for his spiritual needs. This too is a sin. But despite their individual problems, both the Nazir and the Sota are collaborators. They come in sin. because they both energize and stimulate each other. The highly religious person sees the indecent dress and unrestrained conduct of the immodest women, and as an act of introverted spiritual self-defense, he closes himself off from social interaction. The woman, who is more open to the world, sees the antisocial behavior of the Nazir and, in disgust, distances herself from even more from the Torah by acting in even more immodest ways. This vicious anti-Torah cycle is stopped when the Nazir and the Sotah are restored to normal Torah behavior. It occurs at the termination of the Nazir's vows, when his hair is cut and is allowed to drink the grape and brings a specific set of korbanot. The alleged adulteress returns to a normal marriage after fulfilling her obligation in the temple. To sin is bad enough. However, when one becomes locked in a vicious cycle of sinning and causing others to sin, that is spiritual catastrophe. How unfortunate we are to be witness to this phenomena on a daily basis, where the proverbial head endlessly chases its tail around a tree. Leading founders in the Galut communities do not consider Aliyah because their spiritual mentors never raise the issue. Shabbat drashot are taken up with issues of how to be a better Jew and closer to Hashem by not speaking during the Torah reading or other indispensable matters concerning the future survival of our nation. The spiritual mentor, who feels happy and secure in his role as Hashem's envoy to the community, does not consider Aliyah because he has completed his commitment to the Jewish nation's renaissance in Eretz Israel. He has come to Hawaii by sending his son to learn for 1 year in the Meir Yeshiva, and has a daughter married in Bet Shemesh. In addition to, it's quite obvious to him that the Yiddishkeit of the community is dependent solely upon him, and if he should leave, the walls of the local shul, mikveh, and day school would come tumbling down, and, quote, all the king's men would not be able to put it together again. So the head, the rabbi, chases the tail, the community, and the tail pursues the head, just as the Nazir is empowered by the Sotah, the Sotah is invigorated by the Nazir. Who will break this vicious cycle of the God-fearing communities in the Galut? I doubt there will be a sudden intellectual realization of the error in their clinging to the punishment of exile. Nor will it be a bolt of lightning that will illuminate the heavens as at the time of Mount Sinai. It will most probably be an unhappy conclusion stemming from a charged national and social atmosphere that will create a most uncomfortable feeling for Jews in the Galut. It could be set off by an accusation of dual national loyalty, or the pointing of a governmental finger at the direction of certain leading Jewish figures in the banking and investment sectors, or the residential Jewish scapegoat bearing the Magen David. This situation, coupled with the possibility of the United Israel not being able to absorb a large proportion of Jews for a short period of time, would create a bottleneck of catastrophic proportions for Jews having to leave the land of their birth. Later, Nazir and Sotah eventually present themselves before the Kohanim for spiritual renewal. The Jews in the Galut, whose very presence there is an Avera, as attested to by the prophet Yechezkel, will merit their spiritual renewal only when they return to Eretz Israel. Yesterday is long gone. The day is escaping by the second. And who knows what tomorrow will bring. The choice is out there to be a Nazir or Sotah, or to be the son or daughter of Am Yisrael who has come home. May Hashem guard and protect all Am Yisrael, especially our soldiers who are now poised at the border of Gaza, waiting for the command to advance and punish all those who seek to destroy our holy Medina Yisrael. David HaMelech says in Tehillim 32:7, Ata seitali mitzah tetzreini, you are my hiding place. You'll protect me from pain and surround me with songs of deliverance. Shabbat Shalom. JLMN, Jewish Lives Matter More. Nachman Kahana.
So a lot of people are asking, with all the craziness that's going on in the country, is this the right time to come to Eretz Israel? There's it's relatively quiet in America, and here there are rockets that are bombarding the south. There are rockets coming from the north. There's civil unrest throughout the country. Is this really the time to come and make Aliyah?
There never really is the right time to make Aliyah, because every time, every generation, every decade, every year has its problems, has its dilemmas. Living in Eretz Yisrael is not a rose garden. It's not Miami, Florida. Coming to Eretz Yisrael, you have to be able to take upon yourself, on your shoulders, go underneath the stretcher and hold the sick person alive. Again, I say all the time, those who have the strength and courage to come here, they will inherit the earth. And those that will not, they will go down and just be quirks of time and history and be forgotten like so many other people. But those that will come here, they and their children, grandchildren and great-grandchildren, and forever more and more and more, they will live forever. There's never a real right time when to come, because the right time is always now.
What are your thoughts about what's going on right now here in the country?
In our world, there's no change. As I said before, that comes gradual and nice. Every change is involved with somebody suffering, because that's where Hashem made the world. It's very interesting. It says on Friday in the Torah, on the sixth day, Hashem saw everything that he made, and it was very good. But he got one thing. He said on Friday, he didn't say on Shabbat. In other words, he said it why? Because this Shabbat is not for this world. Shabbat is a time of leisure, of hana'a, of pleasure. Our world, whether you want to say it or not, our world is a battlefield. And that you have to know, and it's especially for a Jewish person. Today we are surrounded. We have Hamas, Hezbollah, Iran, all over. And these are different versions of Amalek. I want to destroy the Jewish people, but they can't do it. That's the beauty, or that's the interesting thing on our generation. We're so little, there's so many, and they can't do anything. I once read an analysis that the proportion of Eretz Israel to all the Arab lands is like a little matchbox in the middle of a big football field. And they say, give us half the matchbox, we'll be friends. That's the way Hashem wanted it. But the Gemara says, the end of Perek Aleph and Brachot, there are going to be greater miracles in the future than there were in the past. Now, the question is, how do you measure a miracle? Is there a miracle meter that you put two wires in and you measure a miracle? A miracle is measured by the extent or the difficulty of the threat. The bigger the threat, the bigger the miracle. In former days, the threat was always the local one, from a particular land, Egypt, Babylon, Turkey, Rome. Today, everything is global. The dangers on Israel by Jewish people are global dangers. So the miracles have to be on a global level. And we're in the middle of it. And Baruch Hashem, we have the zchut, we have that privilege to be part of writing a golden page in Jewish history. When time comes for the Mashiach, there are no challenges anymore. The challenges are finished. We have that privilege of being able to write these golden pages in Jewish history.
I was asked today by a rabbi in Chutz Laretz, what's going on here in Eretz Yisrael? And I explained that Hashem has created the world with a izun, with a balance of the Yetzer Hara, the Yetzer HaTov, in order to give us free will. And it's obvious to me that as anti-Semitism grows in Chutz Laretz, that there has to be an equal fear of moving here. If it was so obvious, if everything were roses here in Eretz Israel and everything seemed perfect, there was no corona and there was no financial instability and there was no riots, there was nothing going on here, it was only going on all around the world, then it would be obvious that everybody would jump on the next plane and they would come here. Hashem is, in his wisdom, has created a system in which everybody has to ask, is it the right thing to do? And it gives them the opportunity to make that choice, to have that bechira chofshi, to have that free will to decide on their own whether or not they should come here, irregardless. And I mentioned, I think it's a medrash that says that in the end of days that there's going to be a huge hurricane and the world is going to be swept up and people are going to look at Eretz Israel, at Yerushalayim, are going to say, this is the center, this is the world, the most dangerous place to be, when in reality that is the eye of the storm. It's the calmest here. I said to the rabbi, I said, the pasuk is very clear. It says that Einei Hashem Bab Mireishit Hashana Ad Achrit Hashana, that Hashem is always watching us. I said, I'm not worried about us. What I'm worried about are the Jews that are still stuck abroad in exile. What's going to be with them? Any comments?
Yeah, my father was born in Tzfat, 1904. He told me what Eretz Yisrael was about in those years. He came to Yerushalayim once as a boy. It took them a week to travel. They traveled by night on mules. The land was desolate except for swamps and bandits. And now I take a look at where we are today. Today we are almost 8 million Jews. The land is thriving. My car is the oldest car on the road. And it's 2018. Things are going on here. All of a sudden, Hashem gives us natural gas in the Mediterranean. Where'd that come from? Things happening together with the difficult things. As we take two steps forward, we take one step back. But then we take two steps forward again. In other words, Hashem is giving us messages that everything is under control. But we just have to believe. You have to do. If you're not going to cooperate, you're not part of the scenario. You're out of it. You're not inside the ball game. In the ball field, you're outside. When you're inside, it depends. You can be in the bleachers, you can be in the grandstands or the box seats. But if you're outside, you're not here. You're not part of Jewish history. And Hashem gave an opportunity for us to be part of Jewish history, to create history. In Chutz La'aretz, we learn history. In Israel, we create history. You're part. There's so few people in the country that every person is meaningful. Every doctor, every lawyer, every rabbi, whatever you do. Because there's so few people. So you have a feeling that you're really participating and doing something of value. There's so many good things about living here. Of course, there are wars from time to time, but this is not really a war. Israel could take down Hamas in one day if they wanted to. Israel is such a powerful country, and we have weapons that we don't even talk about. But Israel, because there's international pressure upon us, so we have to take a little bit easy. But if it really came to a question of a life-death situation, Israel would do whatever it has to do, and Hamas won't live for one day. Anyway, but halavai, we should not be able to get to, we won't have to get to that situation, because it's no good to be killed, it's also no good to kill. And so we hope to be able to find some kind of a modus vivendi with them, but I don't think we can, because recent history of the conduct of the Arabs, our local Arabs, Israeli Arabs, they show that where their allegiances really lie. And we have to rethink ourselves. I mean, there's so many things to do here. We have to have a strong leadership. And just at this moment, there's no leadership. So anyway, we have a proverb that says, Lo aman Yisrael. Jewish people, Israel is not a widower. In other words, there's always something coming to take the place in leadership. We'll bring a leader. And then, that's what it is. But we have to go from difficulty to difficulty, and then we go and we get tremendous success. That's Jewish history.
I definitely see a purification process happening, a change in people's minds. One of the most difficult times when one is at war and goes into war, when you have a standard army that you're fighting against that is uniform, that is very clear, it's very easy. You know who the enemy is and you know who you're fighting. The hard part is when you go in, as Israel has done many times, both in the country and outside the country, into populated areas that you don't know who the enemy is. They're not dressed in uniforms. They're mixed amongst the general civilian population, and you don't know who the enemy is. Today, we're seeing that the enemy is coming out of the woodworks, both here in Eretz Israel and in Chutz Laaretz, whether it be in the Democratic Party in the United States, whether it be here amongst the Israeli Arabs that you mentioned, that are showing their allegiance, as you said, and it's very clear to people, even people that don't like it, it doesn't fit their narrative, it's pretty clear what's happening here, that people are choosing sides. And I think that it's time that the Jewish people will have to, as a whole, choose their side, which side they want to be on. And those that are living abroad will have to choose whether they want to be on which side of the fence they want to be. And we hope that everyone chooses the right side.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. And we should all have good thoughts and right thoughts.
Amen. Be well.
Thank you for listening to the Bring Them Home Aliyah podcast. If you identify with our message, please subscribe and tell your friends about us too. You can leave us a review on iTunes, as that really helps us grow. We are available on iTunes, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts. For sponsorship opportunities and for all other inquiries, please email us at bringthemhomeisrael@gmail.com. Check out our website at www.israeltorah.org for more content on this vital topic.